A little girl heard of the birth of Jesus in Sunday school for the first time. You know, Matthew 1, verse 21, they shall call his name Jesus. And she asked, why in the world did they name such a sweet little baby a swear word? Well, think about that for a minute. It gives us some real insight into the thinking and the words of men today. On the outside bulletin board of a church here in the Midwest somewhere are these words: God's last name is not damned. Well, these two illustrations speak of the language of our time. They tell of the profanity and disrespect for God today. Our nation has become a sewer conversationally. The first, we're looking at Exodus 17 here today, that from which Nancy just read. And remember, the first four commandments focus on our duty to God. And the last six focus on our duty to man. Remember, too, Jesus condensed the 10 into 2. Someone approached him, a lawyer I think it was, and asked him, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So it seems that Jesus sort of condensed the law into these two great commandments. Well, here in Exodus 20, verse 7, we read, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh the name, his name, in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. This commandment is just as applicable today as it was in the days of Moses. God's name is to be used in reverence and holiness and never in a profane way. Notice the last part of the verse says, God will not hold him guiltless who uses his name in vain. The word vain means empty or idle or useless. You don't use God's name just off the cuff. In a vain or idle or useless way. The NIV uses the word misuse. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord thy God. For he that misuses the name of the Lord will not be guiltless, or he'll be guilty, in other words. So the emphasis here is do not misuse the name of our God. Someone said profanity is the effect of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. I think that's a pretty good definition of profanity. It's the effort of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. If one can't express himself well, then use profane language. It's a crutch for conversational cripples. In a sense, all men recognize God. Take some notice of him, some curse him, some build cathedrals to him, some study his revelation, the Bible, and worship him. I'm glad to identify with the latter. To say there is no God is like saying a bachelor has trouble with his mother-in-law. How we use God's name depends on our attitude, our relationship to God, our thought pattern, our outlook on life. Now, Christianity must be personal. War is personal if your boy is in it. A hospital is personal if your wife is in it. So religion has to be personal if it's worth anything. We have to develop our own personal relationship with God through Christ. Two men were working on a church edifice, building a tabernacle, and a newspaper went out to interview the workers. He asked one worker, what are you doing? And the man said, I'm laying brick. So he went around on the other side of the building and said to another man, what are you doing? And the man said, I'm building a cathedral. Are you laying brick? Are you building a cathedral? Jesus speaks of our subject in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount here. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to begin with verse 34. Matthew 5, verse 34, our Lord, who spoke never like man spoke, said, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Notice, swear not at all. Neither by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So Jesus says, just say yes or no. You don't have to use profane language. A solemn affirmation or denial is sufficient for a believer. In fact, the Living Bible says, just simply say yes or no. You don't have to punctuate it with a bunch of profanity. That doesn't add anything to it. It's offensive to a lot of people, at least it's offensive to me. Dr. Elton Trueblood, one of the theologians of our time, has put the Ten Commandments in verse form. I'd like to share them with you. Above all else, love God alone. Bow down to neither wood nor stone. God's name refuse to take in vain. The Sabbath rest with care maintain. Respect your parents all your days. Hold sacred human life always. Be loyal to your chosen mate. Steal nothing, neither small nor great. Keep to the truth in word and deed, and rid your mind of selfish greed. So wrote Dr. Elton Trueblood. In 1776, George Washington issued a general order, which read as follows. The general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of cursing and swearing, a vice heretofore unknown in an American army, is becoming quite relevant. He hopes the officers will, by example as well as by influence, endeavor to check it, that both they and the men will reflect that we can have little hope of the blessing of heaven upon our arms if we insult it by our impiety and folly. Besides this, it is a vice so mean and low that every man of sense and character despises it. Well, that's what George Washington said. The U.S. is over, 229 years old, if I remember correctly. What a change since dear old George was commander-in-chief. University professors have told students that they are no more than beasts, so they shouldn't be surprised if they behave like beasts. If you tell a young man he is no more than a beast, then he'll probably behave that way. Well, God will judge both someday. You will not hold them guiltless. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. The Christian has to be careful every day. The ship place is in the sea, but not the ship in the sea. The Christian place is in the world, but not the world in the Christian. We're of the world, but not in the world. Our behavior is to be different. Scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God says. Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 16, and that's quoted from Leviticus 11, verse 44. Two ladies, Mrs. A and Mrs. B, bought two parrots, one each. Mrs. A's parrot had been owned by a pious man who had taught the bird to pray. Mrs. B's parrot had been the possession of a man who taught him to curse. They put the two birds in the same cage, hoping that the praying bird would teach the cursing bird to pray. But the reverse happened. The praying bird ceased to pray and began to curse. The moral of the story? Don't let your worldly friends drag you down to their level. Scripture says, be not deceived. evil communications corrupt good manners. And the Living Bible on that verse says, be not deceived, bad company is the ruin of a good character. Take that verse along home with you today. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, the Living Bible. Bad company is the ruin of a good character. How many times have we seen young people get in with the wrong crowd? And they start drinking alcohol, using drugs, carousing around, all kinds of things. One cannot park his mind in a sewer and have a wholesome vocabulary. It's important to listen to sound language, especially children as they grow up. They'll repeat whatever they hear. If it's profanity, they'll repeat that. If it's good speech they're hearing, they'll repeat that. Good language is a mark of good character. Bad language is a mark of poor character. I understand the Russian government discourages profanity. They say it's uncultural. I have no figures to prove it, but sometimes I suspect that the language is better in Russia than it is in the United States. Yet we are a Christian nation, and Russia is an atheistic nation. That really makes no sense. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold guilty the one that takes his name in vain. The real problem is a matter of one's heart. Whatever's in there comes out through the mouth, as the Bible says, Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's in the well comes up in the bucket. And the cure is obvious. The heart itself has to be cleansed. And then what comes out of it will be pure. Otherwise, it'll be profane. I never knew a deeply spiritual man to have a problem with profanity. Some men quit cursing in the presence of a minister, and others exaggerate it. I've seen that happen a couple times. Another passage is found in James chapter 5. James is the practical writer of the New Testament, as you know. He addresses this issue as well as other writers and as well as our Lord. James 5, verse 12. But above all things, notice, here's something very important. Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Well, that's about the same thing the Lord said. Let your conversation be yes or no. You don't have to have a lot of profanity to emphasize it. A simple yes or no will do just fine. And those, James says, above all things. My dad used to use that phrase a lot. I don't think he knew he was quoting scripture. He said, now above all things do this, or above all things don't do that. I say I don't think he knew he was quoting scripture, but he was. The emphasis then is on truthfulness. Learn to make a simple yes or no completely binding. You don't need anything else. An oath is unneeded. If one has to swear to get people to believe him, it implies that his words are not very reliable. I remember growing up, someone would ask me something. They'd say, swear to it. As if they, you know, didn't believe what I was, yes or no. Well, if you have a simple yes or no, the Lord says, and James says, that's all you need. You don't have to punctuate it with a bunch of dirty words or profanity. A few years ago, a very expensive European car was displayed in this country. It revealed excellent workmanship. Its carpet was almost ankle deep. It was luxury on wheels. One curious observer raised the hood to get a look at the engine. And what he saw or didn't see startled him. It had no engine. No engine. An embarrassed salesman explained it had to be shipped so hurriedly that there was no time to install the power plant. I understand it's a true story that happened years ago. This rather humorous event illustrates very well how God sees most of the human family. There are many who have been raised in a culture of good manners. Their bodies have been pampered with the finest soaps and creams and perfumes. and cosmetics and clothes. They move only in the most affluent circles, but morally and spiritually, they are powerless and useless. Their facade is impressive, but if one lifts the hood, he would find total barrenness spiritually and morally. Everything by which God measures a person would be missing. That's the way many people live. That's why one uses God's name in vain and engages in other ungodly behavior. I challenge you, look under the hood of your life and be honest. What do you see? Under the beautiful facade, what is under the hood? Are you immobile because there is no spiritual power? Romans 3 describes mankind without Christ. Romans chapter 3, here's a description of the human race without Christ. It's not a pretty picture, but it's a true picture of the human race without Christ. Chapter 3 in the book of Romans, beginning with verse 10. As it is written, and it's written in Psalm 14, by the way, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. That is, the human race, as God sees it. It's all guilty before God. Apart from Christ, one is under condemnation. In Christ, one is justified. Through the blood of the cross, our sins are blotted out, gone forever, buried in the depth of the sea, removed as far as east is from the west. God says, if you believe in me and come to me, I'll cast all your sins behind my back, where he will not see them anymore. Our sins are gone, 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 as the course says. Forgiveness of sin comes from Christ's cross. Hope of immortality springs from his open grave. God's last name is not damned. The whole world needs to know that. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain or uses it in a light, flippant way. Do not misuse the name of the Lord. Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. Take those two verses home with you today. Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. And though the world goes the broad way of destruction, though the world rushes on, we'll take time to be holy.